Hey, hi everybody. This is Sandy Seashore. You're listening to Happy Hour. I'm coming to you from San Diego. And I know San Diego's been in the news. I'm not affected personally by the fire. I don't live near the fire. I'm along the coast, and I'm here in my pajamas. It's been horrendous over here with the smoke in the air. It's like I can't even describe to you what a nightmare it is for most people. We had the president in town today. We've had, you know, our governors in town, and you know, it's been really odd. But we're living in a desert. The climate's changing, and this is part of the climate. Our Santa Ana winds, but a lot of people have been affected all up and down California. So. Anyway, Happy Hour is about lightening up, and I teach stand-up comedy workshops through the Comedy Store in Hollywood in La Jolla. And on the line I have with me, as if you were tuning in, this is our second show, and I have Tommy on the air. He's the talent coordinator for the Comedy Store. He helps put the talent together for the shows and puts out a lot of fires at the Comedy Store. Tommy, thanks for joining me again tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sandy.
And can you tell me what the, how do I say it, the mood is over in Los Angeles regarding the current conditions with the fires going on?
Well, for sure, it's something that is dominating the news. It's dominating people's conversations. And although Los Angeles is known for being a little bit of a town where people have self-agenda because of the industry being here, I feel like a lot of people's hearts go out to the people that are losing their homes because it's still part of the area where people would live that come in and work in here, too.
Mm-hmm.
And last I saw in the news, there's 1,300 homes. It's just a tragedy.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things that puts a damper on people. You know?
It's really odd. The Comedy Store has been through, like, the Northridge earthquake. We've been through so many things, and for some reason, we're never affected. Our buildings are never affected. We had, like, one Tabasco sauce drop during the earthquakes. And I really feel the Comedy Store is protected somehow because of all the positive things it's done for the community.
I'm sure your mom would be in agreement with you, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I was asked, should we open a Comedy Store in La Jolla? And I said, absolutely, because we're not affected by the fires down in this peninsula, and, you know, even though we are getting all the smoke. And, you know, so we've kept the club open. And
well, people may need to get together and go out and just relax for just a few minutes. After you do get the fires out, still remains a lot of work has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to have to work together for a long time in order to get things built up to the back to the way that they were.
Yeah, we still have fires going on. I mean,
it's terrible.
It's going to take, you know, a few weeks. That's what they say, to get everything put out.
I'm just
waiting for an earthquake.
Well,
that's what's next, right?
Well, I certainly hope not. I know that there's the possibility of something like that happening over the next 70 years or whatever they've said, but I definitely don't want that to happen right now.
So
because we have to get people laughing, you know?
I was just going to say that. There's nothing really to laugh at now, but it helps you get your mind off of it. It's like watching a good movie.
Now, laughter unifies human beings, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It unifies us together in order to maybe be able to get to where you work together. Think of this, too. In the workplace, people work together. At some point, there will be a function with the people that work each other where they can get together in a social context. Once they do that, they usually, I'm not saying always, but they usually work better together after that because they've laughed together and had fun together.
That's a really good point.
It's the truth.
Because it's really hard to find people to hang out with.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you become friends with the people you work with because you spend a lot of time with them.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings can mold with each other. Almost any two people can become friends in a certain way, especially if they're put within circumstances that they must.
So are people actually coming out tonight? I mean, cause
they are. The Comedy Store in La Jolla is Best of San Diego tonight, and they had over 80 reservations tonight. And
really?
We were just attributing to the fact that people did need to do exactly what we're kind of suggesting. They needed to get out together. Now, that's a no-cover show tonight. You know that. It's a no-cover show, but, you know, it's great, and they have some of the local comics. And I think Jeff Richards from SNL is in there tonight, too.
Mm-hmm.
A couple pop-ins like that.
And then, so tonight's Thursday, and we were open last night as well.
They were open last night, too, yeah.
And then this weekend, we're open this weekend.
Well, your feeling on us staying open for people was a very important thing. Your mom told me that, too. I talked to her today.
Yes,
Sandy said we should stay open, and she lives there, so we're open.
Oh, isn't that great? Well, no, it's, you know, because I feel by the weekend people are going to want to go out a little bit.
Well, there is really a great show going down there this weekend, too. It really is. John Caparulo, he's outstanding. He's been on The Tonight Show, Half Hour Comedy Central special. He's coming out in Vince Vaughn's Wild West tour, which comes out in March in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Fox, who's, you know him from down there.
Right.
He won the Aspen Comedy Festival, my goodness.
He won it?
Won it.
You're kidding.
Uh-uh. That's why he's developing a television series right now. He's been in a couple movies. And, you know, he started right down there. You know, he's from there.
He's got the ego for it, for
yeah,
sure.
I know. You're funny about Kirk. He does believe in himself. I got to give him that.
Well, he's a little rude. What can I tell you?
And then Adam Eppenstein's a young guy opening. He's a guy that your mom's developing. Very funny guy from Chicago.
Who's that?
Adam Eppenstein.
Okay.
And so it's a good show. So it just, you know, for anybody out there, the La Jolla show is really good tonight. I mean, good this weekend.
So we have, again, last week I talked about Halloween. We have Halloween coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, what do we do for Halloween? Oh, yeah, we put out candy for everyone, right? Trick or treat.
Something like
what,
that.
I want to bring back up the subject of the ghost, because later on in the show I have somebody from Haunted Hillsdale. They're into ghost hunting. And I'm not like a ghost person. I just think it's appropriate at this time of year to bring up the subject, since Halloween is spooky.
Yeah.
Even though it's for kids, really, but the adults have their point of view on it.
Number one adult holiday, Sandy.
You're kidding. I didn't.
No, I work. Remember, I'm coming from the nightclub business background. And number one adult holiday.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, but the one they take their kids out, the thing that's different from when you and I were young is when you and I were young, we put on our costumes and went around the neighborhood and got candy, right?
Right. Yep.
And now, it's not that they don't do that, is they do it within safe constructs, which they need to, which either at school or within your own gated community, guided by the parents, no later than dusk. You know, we were out throwing toilet paper in the T-shirt, the trees.
Oh, no, I loved Halloween. That was my favorite time of year.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you sure show jokes.
I have all the cavities to prove it. What is the name? Give everybody the name of our ghost. We are definitely haunted at the Comedy Store on Sunset.
Yeah.
Gus, and then there's...
I don't know I don't know the lady's name.
So there's a lady, and then there's Gus. And our building, we have a landmark building on Sunset Boulevard. And
yeah, it was Ciro's. Just for anybody, Ciro's is a nightclub that's been open here since the late 20s. It's a huge entertainment place. Big bands were here. Just a couple statistics on Ciro's, you know, just to give you the idea. Ciro's, Benny Goodman played here, recorded albums here. The Three Stooges performed here.
So what year was the building built?
I'm not the exact date. It's like 27 or 28.
1927 or 1928.
Yeah, and it's been here the whole time. It's one
and
of the few buildings.
It's still the same structure. I mean, we haven't redone it or anything.
Your mom's done some redoing, but even you can tell by the doorways how low they are. It was built in a different time.
Mm-hmm. There's three rooms, so we have comedy going. It's like a three-ring circus.
Right.
So anyway, there's residue there. There's ghosts.
Yeah, there's ghosts. And Gus is the first one we talked about, which is relevant to what we were just discussing, which is Ciro's.
Mm-hmm.
And Gus was a hitman for the mob. One of the things they used to do to those guys back in the day, they would invite them into a place like this and, you know, have dinner for them and stuff like that, and then they'd kill them. Oh, by the way, we're just trying to say, too, that Ciro's was affiliated with the mob at one point. You know, probably for a long time they had a hand in it, kind of the way Vegas was, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, it was bad. They just protected the place. But they got rid of this guy, Gus, here, and he's pissed off about it, so he's here because he thinks he was treated wrong.
So he messes around with all
the... He likes to play tricks on people, so he does tricks with the chairs, lights. Those are his
candles
things.
Going up and down, pennies dropping down from the nowhere.
Yeah,
I
and
had
cold spots. Which
I was
is
like
common.
In the back. I was in the back of the main room, and you know, I'm pretty insightful, and I really felt something around me, and I was talking to it, and I was holding a matchbook in my hand.
Yeah,
I was just holding it, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I felt this kind of swirl of energy around me, this anger. And that matchbook blew up. It just, the whole thing lit on fire at once.
My goodness.
It was just weird.
Wow.
You know, and I know what Blake has, the comedian Blake.
Blake Clark.
Yeah. He has a lot of ghost stories.
He's got a lot of them. Alan Stevens got a couple of them, who's actually here tonight, too.
Oh, we should get him on the phone.
Yeah, well, Alan, no, he's not here yet. He's going to be performing here later.
Was the executive producer of Roseanne.
Yep, yep.
And he was on the tour with Sam Kennison and my brother Paulie Shore.
Oh yeah.
And then there's some lady, and then there's some lady ghost downstairs that hangs out in the
lady that is in the basement underneath the original room. And what happened in there in the 30s, 40s was she did illegal abortions down there.
Isn't that crazy?
And even though, and they, when they arrested her and dragged her out of there, she, and when she died, she's mad because she felt she was doing a service for everybody, and she felt she was helping. Which, if you want to look in today's perspective, she might have been.
Mm-hmm.
But she was disgraced and all this other stuff, and she died in prison.
We know about, and then some guy committed suicide during.
Well,
the
you know him. You must have known him.
Steve
Trebekin.
Yep. Yep.
And he's in here, and he comes in here and he sobs and he tells Mitzi that he's sorry, he didn't mean to do it.
You wonder, there's a lot of comedians that are on the other side now. You know, Richard Pryor, Sam Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Miller.
I don't know if they've ever come here or not.
I'm sure they have. This has been such a part of their life. But
these people have not. The way the lady describes these people is they've never gone to the other side. They're still in limbo.
Oh.
And that's why they're here the most. Steve Trebekin won't go over because he's pissed off that he did it. And he always says the same thing when he comes in. He's crying. He's going, Mitzi, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it.
I guess that tells you, you know, if you're planning on doing yourself in, just don't do it.
Nah, it's not worth it.
No.
Hard enough life to get through.
Isn't it fun to find out how things are going to... I'm sticking around because I want to see how things turn out. I mean,
yeah.
We're in... Mercury's in retrograde right now, and I don't know if you're into that, but I'll tell you what. You know, you start looking around, and everything's just going backwards. I mean, everything. And the fire started, and, you know, my personal life, there's all these stupid inconveniences going on, and communication.
Well, it's a crazy world. We just, that's why one of the things that is the basis of your show is laughter is something that people need.
And we haven't got to that part.
Well, we're talking about it very seriously right now.
I know.
But it's a serious mode because of what's going on out there. There's not much to
only,
just make fun of, you know?
This is only the second show we're doing. We just started doing Happy Hour, and... You know, I've got to lay out the format a little better and, you know, as far as getting things a little more organized. It's just been really hectic over here, and I was planning on doing it this week, but got sidetracked from the fires. And it's really, it's a tremendous awakener. You know, I looked around, you know, you have to look around. Are you ready for an evacuation? What would you take? You know, and I have two dogs, and thank goodness I do dog shows because I have all this dog show equipment. I have tents. I have cages, I have everything, you know, for the dogs at least. And so that, you know, it's good to have one of, you know, in case you're, like, stuck out of your house, what are you going to do? You got to take care of yourself. Anyway, something beeped.
Yeah. Hi. For a break.
Okay.
We're
okay, so Tommy,
calls.
we're gonna take a break, and I'm going to bring in Naveed, a comedian from India, and let's see, we're going to get a little comedy going here.
Hi.
Oh, Naveed, are you there?
Yes, Sandy, I'm here. How are you?
Oh, my God. Tommy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, my God, it's a party.
Hi.
Naveed, so, okay, Naveed lives in San Diego, and I just heard today that you went the other day up to San Francisco, and that's where you're calling me from, right?
That's right. That's right. I was up here to do a couple of fundraiser shows and then found out there was a fire, so... And it was a blessing that I was at least up here.
So you were up there anyway?
Yes, I was, me and my family, so it was kind of fortunate from that perspective.
That's good. Did they evacuate your area?
Yes, they did. And my wife has got asthma, so it was very fortunate that we were here because the smoke is so thick and our area was, neighborhood was evacuated. So, you know, I think it's a blessing I came to do a comedy for a good cause, and I think the powers that be was very kind.
you were paid back. You have a okay. By the way, Naveed from Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been in the United States?
I've been here almost 15 years.
Okay, and what brought you to the United States?
Well, the same reason everybody wants to come to America for a better life, and I have had no regrets. But I mainly came here to first came here for my graduate studies in electrical engineering, and then I came and got my master's in engineering, and then got into a job, and one thing led to another, and I stayed on and have not regretted since.
There's a picture of Naveed up on the website on Happy Hour on BBS if you want to see Naveed. The thing I wanted to ask you was. You have a little quote that you say. You say, humor is the only way to shove the truth down the throat. That is the only time when the eyes are shut and the mind is wide open. And you have that quote under your picture in your emails. Can you tell me how you came to that, what brought you to that? Say that.
Well, I mean, first I learned that from you, Sandy, when I took your class. You said that humor is so powerful. You can, get a lot of truth across. And I'm a Bangladeshi first-generation immigrant. I'm a Muslim. I've been in corporate America. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. So I have a lot of things to say. And especially since 9/11, there's been a lot of misconception about Muslims. And I really thought that through humor, I can try to demystify the fact that a few people are terrorists and they're criminals outright, and everybody else is just a honest human being. And through humor, I can really tell a lot of things. I can tell I can grab somebody and say that, hey, you know what, this is the truth and this is not the truth. But they're going to say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to you. Versus if you try to make them laugh, they'll say that, you know, I learned something. In fact, I did a show in Michigan a couple of months ago, and this gentleman just came back from Iraq after a one-year tour of duty. He was an active duty army. And he told me that through my comedy, in 5 minutes, he learned about the Middle East conflict, about Muslims, that he did not even know after his one-year stay in Iraq. So I said, you know what, my mission is accomplished. That through humor you can really tell so many things, and people will accept it with an open mind.
Mm-hmm. The first rule of comedy is comedy is based on truth.
That, absolutely.
Can you tell everybody your experience about trying to get through customer service?
You want me to do my little bit there?
We don't want to call it a bit, but, let's tell everybody that. And then I want to hear your view on globalization when you're done with that.
Okay, yeah. Customer service, it's a, I think just about anybody who's listening to this right now has had some experience of speaking with probably some of my relatives on the other line, helping out on tech support. Guess what? I've myself have experienced quite a bit, and somebody would say, hey, my name is Roger Adams. I say, yeah, you're Roger. If you're Roger Adams, I'm Uncle Sam. And then they say, oh, you're Uncle Sam. How are you, Mr. Uncle Sam? No, I'm just kidding, And, I do a lot of humor about that, and people relate to it, but at the same time, it's an issue, obviously, that a lot of jobs have gone to Southeast Asia, and a lot of people have lost jobs. And then again, through humor, you can tell a few things that,
And how your job is outsourced now.
Yes, it is. In fact, I used to work for a big company, and I left and joined a startup, and guess what? In 2 months, my job goes off to Southeast Asia. So that's kind of ironic, and I say that's my karma.
It's the truth, though. It's
I'm
very
sorry?
Ironic.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell everybody your views on globalization?
Yeah, my view of globalization is that, we're all dealing with immigration, we're dealing with outsourcing, we're dealing with corporate America, but these are all a direct result of a global economy, our globalization we are all dealing with every day. And then people say, well, that's kind of high thought. I say, well, okay, let's look at it in very simple terms. You see this shirt I'm wearing. The shirt was made in Vietnam, then it was shipped on a Singaporean vessel with an Indonesian crew, then offloaded at the Los Angeles port by Mexicans, then loaded onto a San Diego-bound Korean truck with a Japanese engine and a Guatemalan driver. Then I put this shirt made in Vietnam. I put this shirt on. I get into my Japanese Mitsubishi. I drive down to the world-famous comedy store in La Jolla, California, which was born in Hollywood, California. I bring with me my Nokia cell phone made in Finland, bought with my credit card made in China, the transaction processed in India by my good friend Apu, using a Dell computer designed in the U.S., assembled in Malaysia, using a microprocessor chip from Taiwan, and then everybody gets to see this comedian from Bangladesh outsourcing comedy. See, that is really the true definition of a global economy or a globalization.
It's the truth. It's so bizarre, very bizarre.
Yeah.
And it's pretty well, I mean, if you just look around your rooms, everybody look around where you live, everything is comes from different places. And you travel a lot.
Yes.
Can you tell me, because you're up in San Francisco right now, and can you tell me any, there's a lot of countries that don't have comedy clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice a really big difference? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm from Bangladesh, and I know for a fact there aren't any comedy clubs there. There's a few comedians who do comedy on TV, but it's not as powerful as it is over here in America.
Now, didn't you have to hide the fact from your family that you were doing stand-up comedy? I mean, for like a year you hid it.
Yeah, in fact, I've been doing comedy for almost 3 years, and for the first 2 years, only Sandy and my wife knew about it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some comedians who ever saw me knew about it, but my community, my parents, my siblings, nobody. Only my wife knew. And it was a lot of times I would miss an evening party at some friend's place, and the story was Navidis doing a teleconference with Southeast Asia, so that's why he's not here. But guess what? I was at some comedy club.
And then, did you expect the results? I mean, you're getting a lot of bookings. You won that. You went to Las Vegas to a comedy competition, and you won first place.
Yes, the 2000 Las Vegas Comedy Festival. I was judged, and these were all industry professionals who judged comedians, and I was just the best male comedian for the Play Vegas stage, and that really was a boost and an endorsement of what Sandy, what you taught me. And then everybody said one thing, Naveed, you know, clean humor is so refreshing. And I remember Sandy always telling me that, Naveed, do clean humor. And in half an hour, I'm going to go to a Catholic school to do comedy, so, because they wanted clean comedy.
Really?
So, that really was a boost and endorsement. And after that, you know, it's just been, I haven't looked back. I mean, almost every evening I'm doing shows, clubs, private shows, a lot of corporate gigs. Last weekend
When you do clean comedy, you get booked. I always tell people, like, if they start an argument, like they want to do blue comedy in class, I tell them, go ahead and do two sets, do a dirty set and do a clean set, but I don't want to work with you on your dirty set because it's not creative.
Right.
And people are sick of hearing about it.
Yeah.
Is Tommy still on the air? Oh, I guess Tommy left. But, you know, I get a lot of that, you know, from, you know, and a lot of new women coming out have potty mouths.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's funny. They were doing shock comedy. You're doing really traditional, clean humor that people want to hear.
Absolutely, Sandy. And in fact, this fundraiser I did last Friday here in San Francisco, there was another comedian who was the main comedian. I was the opener. And when the other comedian came, he was very good, but he did a little bit of blue comedy, and there were parents who actually said, you know, they screamed out, there are kids here, there are kids here. And then the feedback I got was phenomenal. They said, you know, you were funny, you were clean, I didn't have to worry about my kids. So that really was very encouraging to hear that.
I just think it's, you know, when you do clean comedy, it's more universal anyway. And then when you first started out doing stand-up, you were just doing jokes. Remember?
Yes, absolutely.
You were doing jokes, and what I like to do is turn people into characters. Like, you know, and I said, you know, you travel a lot. You're more global. Let's work on that from that point of view, and that's really, because that's who you are.
Yes.
You know, and you're right now. The world is changing so fast because of the internet. You know, the information we can get. I think. And, you know, you have you're in the middle of it. You're in the mix. You're Muslim. You're from a different country. You know, you travel a lot, and you have a lot to say. You know, and I'm really hoping you continue to expand. What are your goals for your future in comedy?
Well, first of all, I'm spending just about all my time on it right now. I quit my well-paying job.
You quit your day job.
I quit my day job. People used to say, Naveed, don't quit your daytime job. And I was trying to be funny, and then guess what? I did quit my daytime job.
So you're under a little stress, right?
I'm sorry?
You're under a little stress now.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Is it stressful?
Well, I mean, it is, but it's just like, they don't say it's showbiz without a reason. It's a business, and I treat it as a business in the sense that comedy is my product, and then I have to make it ready for a market. And if they want to pay for it, then I have to, you know, do my good product planning. And the product planning is clean comedy. And I've seen wherever I've gone, there's a huge market and a need and a desire and a thirst for clean comedy.
You seem really, really busy lately. Is that because you're doing a lot of comedy on the road now?
Well, yes. I mean, I have still limited myself to California, Southern California, but it's just comedy. Tomorrow I'm driving to L.A. for two shows, and then I come back again to San Francisco because I want to stay away from the smoke. But, yes, I am staying very busy with comedy, and it's also you know, it's a small community in the sense that if you do well, if you're if you're an honest person, and if you're professional, people like you for that. And
do you feel like you're a happier person now because of it?
I've never been happier. My wife says, you know, we've been married 9 years, and she says she's never seen me happier.
And your baby was conceived right after your showcase that you
did.
Your very first showcase you did for us.
Yeah,
right?
In fact, you know, I think, you know, the conception of a human being has a lot to do with happiness. And I think I remember the first showcase I did, I'm sure my comedy has come a long way since then, but I was so happy. I remember I never did public speaking in Bangladesh. The first time I ever did it was in my mid-20s here in the U.S., and only because my boss forced me to do it for a presentation at my company. And I'm ever grateful to him for that. And then I look back, so my God, have I not only done public speaking, but I've done comedy. And I was very happy. And it's just like a rush. I mean, it's just when you have a good evening, you make people laugh, and they come and say, you know what, you were so good, or you were so clean. You know, it's a rush. And I've never been happier doing anything else.
You know what you did? You're following your dream.
I am, and I'm taking it seriously. I mean, if you...
Yeah, it is. It's a business. You have to treat yourself like a business. You're a product, and you have to market it, just like you said. I think you're doing a great job with it.
Yeah, and in fact, I started business school, started my MBA a couple of years ago. I've taken a break, but I'm seeing that there's so much applicable. I've been in corporate America for 13 years, and it is just similar. It's just a different dimension, but everything is the same. You have a product to sell, and you have to make it ready for a market. And you know, you have to network. You have to be honest, professional about it. And definitely, that's the way to go. And I'm just so psyched up every morning to get up, do what I'm doing.
Isn't that great? Now we're at the bottom of the hour. We're supposed to be taking a break, and we're supposed to be taking a break at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what we're gonna do, and I'm bringing back. I'm gonna be bringing up Amy from hauntedhillsdale.com in a moment here. So, Navid, I just want to wait for them to...
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to BBS Radio. An internet radio experience of truth, harmony, beauty. From your family at BBS Radio, have yourself a beautiful day.
Hi, it's Sandy Shore from Happy Hour. I just wanted to give you Navid's email navid@navidmaboob.com. You can actually go to the BBS radio link, and there's Navid's picture. And Navid is N-A-V-E-E-D. Maboob is M-A-H-B-U-B, I believe, .com. And if you want to write him or just send me an email, and I'll pass it along to him. On the line, we have Amy from hauntedhillsdale.com, and we were just, Amy, I was just talking to Tommy, the talent coordinator from the Comedy Store, about our ghost that we have at up on our Sunset location, and I was really interested in speaking to you about what your talents are, because, you know, it's Halloween, and, you know, and I was mentioning earlier that, you know, I'm not so much into ghosts as I am more into spiritual matters, but ghosts are very spiritual beings, and I just wanted to find out your, you know, a little bit about you.
Well, you sent me the story that somebody had posted about the ghost that is thought to inhibit it, and it appears to me that it's more of an intelligent haunting instead of a residual, because, you know, the residual ones are the ones that the same thing happens at the same time of year, or, you know, say a woman floats across the room and looks out into the window or something like that, and it just happens the same time, or a certain smell is smelled at the same time, or there's a sound, or you know, somebody having a fight. But it sounds like it's more intelligent and it's interacting with the people, so it's more, it's aware of what it's doing.
Causing problems.
The residuals is like, it's just a moment caught in time.
Can you, before we go on further, this is really interesting. Ooh, I'm getting the chills. Could you explain, give a little bit of your background to people that don't know who you are, including me? I'm just meeting you for the first time.
Well, I'm Amy, and I'm from Haunted Hillsdale, and I run a paranormal investigation group, but I'm really interested in movies and documentaries, and so I decided, you know, I really wanted to do a documentary, and my interest has always been in the paranormal. And about 4 years ago, I decided this is what I wanted to do, and I wanted to follow a paranormal group around to document it. Well, there weren't any paranormal groups around, so I formed my own paranormal group.
And do you actually work with, I mean, you're documenting, are you one of the, I would say, artists that can communicate with ghosts or on the other side?
No, I'm not one of those. I do blessings of homes to try to, I help try, I've been getting a lot of cases recently of negative entities, and so I try to help people work with that. I do have a set on my team who, she's actually, we do a radio show together. We formed the League of Extraordinary Paranormal Women, and we profile women in the paranormal.
And your website's called Haunted Hillsdale. That's HILLSDALE.com.
Yeah.
You can probably find out more information. What is your vibe on this big blaze that's happening in California? We're all on fire. What's your feeling on that?
We were just talking about this tonight on our show, and my psychic, Christy, she actually, well, she's not my psychic, but, you know, the psychic.
Yes.
She said she feels like it's like natural disasters and things like that. It's going to be about another 2 years of this kind of stuff going on. And she keeps saying that she thinks that there's going to be one more big thing, like a terrorist attack or something like that, that's going to happen.
I mean, we always get earthquakes. I'm like waiting for the earthquake, and I'm like, am I ready? I'm like, I have plenty of water around, and I have my dog cages. So I'm, you know.
It's scary.
Well, I guess it is, but if you trust where you are, that you're supposed to be exactly where you're supposed to be, then there should be no fear. But I'll tell you what, seeing all that smoke out there, it's a little fearful when you can't breathe. And then you run around, and you know, I did run around looking for air purifiers, and everybody was sold out, so I had to overnight something. But the air purifiers, were, I mean, I'm telling you, this is like the Twilight Zone out here. And it feels like a lot of new beginnings.
Is it like, well, you know, death is a new beginning of sorts, you know.
Cleaning out the old and beginning anew.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all there is change in life and just adjusting to it.
This is my thoughts on it all. I think that Mother Earth is tired of the parasites on her back, and she's shaking us off. That's what she's doing. She's a natural organism that it's in her to want to survive. And so she's just kind of shaking us off, and unfortunately, good people are getting hurt because bad things are being done to her.
Yeah, I just think we're going through this earth change cycles. And then, there's a lot of people on the planet, and there's a lot of people to care for. But, that's a whole other topic, and we can do that. This is called happy hour.
Happy.
And we're supposed to be light about it. And I think if we take the approach of, being able to accommodate change as it comes without tweaking out too much, like get a massage or just take a step back and do something that makes you feel good so that you can just kind of flow with the change.
Yeah. I have a friend, Beverly the Gothic Gourmet, and she was actually on a radio show today, and she always talks about just like stopping and smelling the roses and enjoying the moment and, just really pampering yourself and taking care of yourself, because you can say, like, it's been a really horrible day. Or you can say, well, it was a really horrible day, but I did smell some very wonderful roses.
Mm-hmm. I just stop and rethink. Like, as soon as I get all wound up, I just stop in my tracks, rethink and reset my brain. And go, okay. yeah, if you go out and you're all mad about this and that and you get in a car, you're going to have a problem. But you go and you just kind of calm down for a minute and just rethink what's the most important thing in life. Because it's the most important thing in life to me is the stuff you can only take with you. You know, and that's pretty much your belief system.
Yeah,
you know, and how you make people feel, and that's it. Now,
yeah.
Can you let's go into what your forte is here. You, I'm looking at. You're going to do this workshop.
Yeah, we have a workshop on October 30th, and it's going to be. We look for a haunted location that could house speakers and ghost stories, and
That's all the way out in Michigan.
Yeah.
By the way, I was born in Detroit, Michigan.
Were you?
Yes, that's where I was born.
I have a theory about Michigan. You know how you can play that 6 degrees or 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon? I think everything can be related somehow back to Michigan. I really do.
That's where I came in at. Okay, you have how to become a paranormal investigator. I mean, can you give me just a couple little sound bites on how to do that?
If you want to investigate the comedy place that you're at, really my favorite thing to do are EVPs. And those are the electrical voice phenomenon. And
right.
Have you ever seen White Noise?
Oh, of course.
Okay, well, ignore everything that was said in that movie because it was hyped up Hollywood.
Okay.
What you need is just a voice recorder and if you have a digital camera, you could just go at it. And what I like to do is...
I personally don't have time for this, to do it right now because I've tried that before years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to mess around because you can let other things in that aren't meant to come in. So I think it's better to do is learn from... Like, go to a class for it, right?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you have to, before I go into any investigation, whatever belief source you have, you know, we bring it, we ask them to come and be with us and protect us and, you know, just guide us. And really, doing the EVP, you're not really opening up too much.
So you just put a tape recorder on and you just, walk away and just come back and listen to it?
Yeah, or you can put a tape recorder on and ask questions.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it's not really messing with the Ouija board. We don't do that.
I know. I have a lot of friends on the other side, and I just ask them in my head, blah, 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 and they just blurt out an answer to me, and it's usually right.
Yeah. Guides.
Okay, I have a lot of those. Various types of degrees of haunting. Can you tell me what that means? There's degrees of hauntings.
Well, like I said, there's the residual hauntings that are the things that play over and over. It's like a moment stuck in time. And then there's the intelligent haunting that is actually conscious and aware. And then there's the light hauntings that are, you know, it's just a spirit guide or say your grandmother has passed over or just somebody that is coming to watch over you. And then there's also the demonic hauntings, which in my opinion... they've never incarnated in the human body. They're just, that's what they are, is just evil. And then, you know, there's people that were bad in life. They sometimes cross over and they're bad over there, too. So there's different degrees of...
Bad boy, bad boy. What's it going to be? And so your intention is to document these things. So I think one of my students does this whole joke on... that haunting that's on TV with the English lady.
Oh.
I feel my hand, it's getting warm. No, it's getting colder. Film is over here. Oh, look, my hand, it's moving faster than my mind. She makes fun of it, and it's one of
her best pieces.
Oh, look, you know, edit that part out where the shoe's flying in the air because she's holding the shoe and it's flying in the air.
Yeah,
and then, all about, this is now, I'm moving on, all about the other side. These are things that are going to be in your afternoon, in the workshop you're going to do, right? These are the
We're going to be doing a workshop in November because we get a lot of people emailing us and asking us questions like, how do we start a group? What do we do? What kind of equipment do we need? And Christy gets a lot of people wanting answers to questions and how do I contact my dead grandmother, or how do I know who my spirit guides are?
Okay, so the difference between like a ghost and a spirit guide is a ghost has stuck in this dimension and the spirit guide is over on the other side that went through the light. That's what I understand. Isn't that true?
Me, I think a ghost is a spirit that has crossed over. I think a spirit guide is more somebody that who has been charged as being somebody to come and guide you and teach you.
Okay, so through your, you know, through your journey, do you have any experience of documenting anything that kind of made you really believe in this?
Well, I actually just had something happen recently, and I'm not actually sure if it was paranormal or UFO, because we've been getting a lot of people saying that they've had UFO activity happen, and we went up to the almost to the UP, and we stayed at this barn that
with
used
the
to be
UP.
Old, oh, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Sorry. Michigan cock. And he was telling me that in addition to ghosts, he felt like he had UFO activity. Well, this guy was just turned out to be a drunk, actually. And I just kind of, you know, chucked it off as, you know, just him being weird. So about a week later, I was home, and it was probably about, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, when you kind of get startled out of your sleep, and I saw something standing at the edge of my bed. And it
usually
looked,
that happens to me, and there's a dog barking. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, and usually it's just like an object in the room, and your, you know, your sleepy eyes are making it into something that it's not. But it looked like the best I can describe was an alien from Alien, that movie
was
Alien.
Was it like a gray being or something? Was
yeah,
it,
it was gray and lizardy looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
they always get you when you're half asleep and half awake. That's when it all happens.
Yeah, and I would have chalked it off as just being that sleepy eye kind of making objects, you know, because your mind has that matrix where it needs to make something out of an object. And so I rolled over and I turned on the radio, and this voice was coming from the radio that it, I've never heard of it. It didn't sound like English. It didn't sound like any language that I'd ever heard. And I could tell it was repeating itself. So that really scared me. And
Was there one being?
It was just one. And I talked to my friend who was a ufologist, and he said, "Well, was it standing by your closet?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he said that they use that as a portal.
I have to tell everyone I had an experience back in the late 80s. I was getting ready to go to sleep, and these three beings popped in my bedroom. And I was right before I was going to sleep, and there were three grays. And they said telepathically, "Oh, she's not asleep yet. Go back to sleep." And then I was like, "Oh, hi." Like I knew them.
Really?
And then I called my friend Stuart Wardlow. He's kind of an odd person that knows lots of things. And he said they were like my future selves coming to visit me. But anyway, they floated over my bed, and they proceeded to download all these hundreds of thousands of like computer like symbols into my head, and they've been floating in my head ever since. And so I've been able to do odd things since that happened, but it was very creepy. I mean, I felt very comfortable with them, like I knew them, and like, "Where have you been?" You know, like I knew them. So, you know,
well,
I've never been the same since.
Like aliens
and I write hieroglyphics now, and I help people find their light body through these hieroglyphic this language. And I know there's a few hundred people on the planet doing it. I was contacted by a woman in Australia who's putting a book together with people like myself that see these, you know, that had this experience. So I'm not the only one. But I do a 10-year search. Like, what is the purpose of this? Why did it happen? Who are these beings? And it kind of sidetracked my life. And then finally I said, "You guys just go away and leave me alone. Let me live my life. I have things I have to do here." And so I kind of pushed them away. But it's still part of me.
This happened in the 80s?
In the late 80s. And then I had odd things happen after that, like, you know, dimensional doorways opening up and little probes floating around in my room and my dogs barking at it and, you know, just odd things. And it can be really scary, but at the point you've got to take control of the situation and just go, "Leave me alone for now," or "Work with me." But I haven't seen them since. But I've seen other beings and had other experiences. But, you know, like I mentioned, I you know, I did have a mission to accomplish in this life, and I just feel my mission is to inspire people. And mm-hmm. since my family started the comedy revolution in 1972, and I'm part of this family group, I decided just to keep going down that path. And I like humor is for healing. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not that interested in comedy as a business, but I'm more mm-hmm. interested in people becoming inspired through humor
yeah.
to, you know, lighten up their life. And that's yeah. kind of why I developed this radio show. And it's still got a long way to go before it's where I want it, like anything when you begin.
Uh-huh.
I think BBS is a great platform to launch, you know, Happy Hour on, even though I've done public radio for several years, you know, on mainstream radio. Mm-hmm. But, and it seems like you're just kind of getting started, and this is something, it is wonderful, but there's a lot of odd people in your realm.
It's actually a cutthroat realm too. I would have never guessed it, but there's a lot of backstabbing.
Did you ever hear of Peter James? He was a dear friend. He passed away recently. He did the ghost tours of. He's been on TV a lot, and he's mm-hmm. been to the Comedy Store a lot, and was a dear friend of my family.
Oh.
And
I did hear about his passing. Actually,
yeah, very talented.
I was talking to someone last night, and we were trying to remember his first name. We had James, but we couldn't remember his first name.
It's Peter.
Every
business is cutthroat.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot. It's just there's nothing. You know, you just have to not look up and just keep going forward.
Exactly.
And how is it coming? So is this going to be your first group? What is this? It's
a documentary.
It's for women. You're doing this for women? You're making a...
Well, no, I'm actually... That's two separate things. The League of Extraordinary Paranormal Women was formed to spotlight women in the paranormal, and we kind of do radio... Well, we do a radio show, and we're doing conferences and things like that. Haunted Hillsdale is a different umbrella.
I love that name. That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Hillsdale is the name of a city?
Yeah, well, it's a small, sleepy college town, and when I moved here, I was like, wow, this place feels creepy and haunted, and so people started telling me all these stories about hauntings and stuff, and I said, oh, I have to start something called Haunted Hillsdale, and that was, like, when I first moved here, and I didn't do it until probably, like, 4 years later.
So, okay, so how long have you been doing Haunted Hillsdale?
Haunted Hillsdale's been around for almost 4 years.
Okay. And so
we're kind of babies. We're still babies in this
So
area.
It's an actual school area you go into and just try to get some white noise going? And
No, it's we actually have people call us and want us to come investigate their homes. And at first it was, you know, I really like doing the historical locations. So we've done, like, we did the Grosvenor House, which was the owner of the Capitol. He built the Capitol of Michigan. And we did the Poor House, which was kind of like before there was state aid. That's where people that didn't have money or people that were mentally ill were sent, and they were forced to work and lived in really cramped conditions. But or if they
and
were too
some
old.
Things never change.
Yeah.
Some things never change. The human condition, it just seems, it's the same story over and over and over again. And then so you, have you thought about maybe traveling out to other haunted areas?
Yeah, well, that's what's been happening. I've been getting calls from all over the place, and so I'm actually changing. I'm going to keep Haunted Hillsdale, but I'm going to switch under to the Haunted Michigan. And I have other groups that want to come under that umbrella and be like, I'm Haunted Hillsdale. I have somebody who lives in Kalamazoo. They want to be Haunted Kalamazoo. I have somebody that lives in Wayne County. They want to be Haunted Wayne County.
Oh,
like that.
Cute.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have a Casper the Ghost logo.
No.
So then
have an old
Okay, let's do a projection. So project that you've got these groups in these different cities, and then what do you do, just communicate together or have these, like, a yearly convention, or how do you pass stories around, or, I mean,
no,
what is the purpose of it?
Say somebody calls me now and they live in Kalamazoo and they want help. Well, then that'll save me from having to drive all the way up there, and I can just say, well, I have a group called Haunted Kalamazoo, and I'll refer you to them, or, you know.
Okay, so when they say they need help, that means they have a haunted house or they're being haunted?
Yeah.
Are you trying to help people, or are you trying?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, yes, but are you trying to get people to help those people? I mean, do you understand there's like two levels here?
Well, are you saying like the people that are under the umbrella of Haunted Michigan? Or
right, like your group. Like, if, like I'll call you and go, oh, my God, my house is haunted. Will you come here and help me? That kind of person? Or I, you know, I'm a ghost investigator, and I want to help people that are being haunted.
Well, if somebody calls me and says, oh, my God, my house is being haunted, I need help, I usually
look
ask them.
Look at the scratches all over my back, and, you know, and the silverware is flying through the air, and the lights are going on and off. Help me.
Yeah, I try to, I have a questionnaire that I try to weed out the, you know, the people.
Oh, what are some of the questions?
Like, are any drugs and alcohol used in the house? Do you know the history of your house?
Any schizophrenia?
Yeah, is there, well, you know, and these are questions that I say, you know, and I do ask everybody, every single person gets asked these questions because, you know, alcohol and drugs do contribute to haunting. They really do, because they weaken the they weaken a person's spirit, and that brings in the dark entities like that. They want to. They want
that. Like it opens up your aura or something.
Yeah, and they can just you know attach themselves right to you, and then they encourage you to keep doing it.
I heard that I had an entity attached to me when I was born. Even my mother agreed to me, and I got rid of it, you know, quite a long time ago. But it really felt like something was attached to me. And I know a lot of us have things attached to us we're not even aware of.
Yeah.
And they influence us a lot.
Well, I have a psychic friend who told me a story about she met with this one woman for the first time, and she kept seeing this, weird alien-looking reptile behind her. And finally she's like, you're going to think I'm really crazy, but I keep seeing this thing behind you. And she's like, oh, yeah, I know. It's my spirit guide, and I talk to him all the time. And she's like, oh, honey, that is not anything good that you want to be talking to.
That's pretty wild. I mean, who knows? I mean, that's why, you know what I think? I think humor has got so much power and energy that it makes it all go away. I honestly feel that deeply in my soul, that humor knocks it all out. It takes away, you know, negative energy. It takes away a lot of that. We take ourselves too seriously, and we need to lighten up.
I just love to laugh. It just cleanses your soul and makes you feel
absolutely. It's good physically, mentally, spiritually. And, you know, and that's my goal for this show.
I
want to run a little bit of a workshop online, a few minutes each week, just so people can maybe see how to turn their, you know, turn the dark into light, and then learn how to laugh at it instead of it controlling you. And then
that's
the ghost thing. Yeah, I'm real sensitive to energies really, really deeply myself.
Uh-huh.
So I just, you know, that's why I surround myself with animals, because they certainly help lighten things up a lot.
Yes, they do, and they can sense things that we can't sense.
Absolutely. My dog, my two dogs passed away. They were old and passed away, and I was 2.5 months without a dog, and it was like the silence was deafening. So I have these two collie puppies now, and one of them was looking up in the air and barking. And I went to this animal psychic for fun a few weeks ago, and she goes, oh, your other dog's around, and it's confusing your new dogs. They don't know what's going on.
Oh.
You know? And I'm like, well, at least they're still around. That's the
I had my first experience with a spirit dog, a dog really quickly that I had since I was born. When I was like 10 or 11, we had to have put asleep. Well, one night, she was a poodle, and we had hardwood floors, but when she would walk around at night, I could hear a little toenails clippity-clack.
Okay.
Well, one night, I heard that same thing right after we put her to sleep. She came clippity-clapping down the hallway, and she jumped up my bed, and there was like a dark shadow and an indentation in my bed, and it made me feel so good.
Oh, but I know they're always with us. So we're almost at the top of the hour, I want to thank you so much. Your website again is hauntedhillsdale.com.
Yes.
HILLSDALE.com. My website, sandyshore.com. That's sandyshore.com. I have a book out called Secrets to Stand Up Success. You can get that on Amazon. It's about the workshops, and we'll be back every Thursday next week. I've got something planned, and I think it'll be fun. So thank you so very much.
Thanks, Sandy.
Naveed Mahboob, I want to thank him. It's funny, Mahboob, M-A-H-B-U-B. Naveed, he's a comedian from Bangladesh. Were you able to hear him?
I caught the end of him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fascinating, coming from a different side of the globe. Interesting person as far as his views on life. I mean, to travel and leave your family, come to a new country and start. He's a wonderful person. So thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, Amy, very much. Happy hauntings to you. You got Halloween coming up. That should be fun.
Yeah, and
we'll be back next week at the same time. Again, this is Sandy Scherr with Happy Hour. Have a great evening, everybody, and stay safe. Okay, bye-bye.